He's talking to the Rolex wearing.
Woo!
Diamond ring wearing.
Woo!
Kiss stealing.
Woo!
Wheel and dealing.
Woo!
Limousine ride.
Woo!
Jet flying.
Woo!
Suck it up, look up.
Woo!
And I'm having an all time.
Holy Hannigan's down.
Now give me two claps and a Ric Flair.
Woo!
This is the Brad Gilmore Show on demand or demand.
What's going on, y'all? This is DJ DMD, and y'all are checking out the Brad Gilmore Show on demand right here.
What's going down? It's your homie Dope Easy, the Southeast Beast, and make sure you tune in to the Brad Gilmore Show.
WCW champion, and you're listening to the Brad Gilmore Show. Can you dig that, sucker?
On demand.
On demand.
On demand.
And now, here's your host, Brad Gilmore.
Welcome to another simulcast of TP the Topolsky Podcast.
And the Brad Gilmore Show. On demand.
You know, it's been a while since I've been in the podcasting world. I've been out of...
You've been out of commission for a while.
I have been.
It's been a while since a simulcast. We've missed two pay-per-views, TP.
We have?
Yeah.
Which ones were they?
Elimination Chamber and Payback.
Hey, listen, a lot of people were unhappy with Elimination Chamber for a multitude of reasons. One being the cell or chamber, whatever you call it, falling apart during the IC title match and a couple of mistakes there. But Kevin Owens and John Cena.
It was fantastic.
It was absolutely incredible.
It was incredible.
One of the best pure wrestling matches I've seen in the modern era. And we got Kevin Owens and John Cena back for Money in the Bank. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to run down the card today.
Money in the Bank, you know, it started off as that it was just a ladder match at WrestleMania. I think it was WrestleMania 21 is where it started. It was the brainchild of Chris Jericho. And then now, all these years later, it's its own pay-per-view. I think this is like the fifth or sixth Money in the Bank pay-per-view. And remember, they used to have two Money in the Bank matches. There was the red case and the blue case.
Right.
One for world title, one for WWE title.
Right.
Are you glad that they have one world title now?
I am.
Why?
It just makes the championship more valuable. You know, I mean, here's the thing. If you go back to the 2009, 2010, 2011 era, you had guys walking around who were world heavyweight champion like Jack Swagger. Now, no disrespect meant to Jack Swagger at all, but I think anybody who's a wrestling fan can obviously see just by looking at it that Jack Swagger is not World Heavyweight Championship material, especially in this era.
Yeah.
When you've got guys like Brock Lesnar walking around with the championship. So,
yeah, or even guys in this era like Kevin Owens.
Precisely.
In the same regard, a pure wrestler, but a mic technician as well as an in-ring one.
A mic technician. I've never heard that used before.
I just used it for the first time.
Do you consider yourself a mic technician?
I am a mic technician.
Speaking of mic technicians, before we get into this, we should probably talk about Dusty Rhodes.
Of course. Yeah.
And the untimely news of his passing. What are some of your best memories of what an icon, by the way?
You know, I was born, obviously, in 1992. So, you know, Dusty in his prime was, you know 70s, 80s. So I missed like the bulk of his run as a top star, but I think it was like 2005 they released the American Dream, the Dusty Rhodes story on DVD, and I remember I was at Warehouse Music, which isn't even in business anymore, and I bought it 10 years ago, and it had like this button that you would push, and it had like his best catchphrases, you know, the I've wined and dined with kings and queens, and I slept in alleys and dined on pork and beans, baby. And I remember pressing that button and I watching the story, and I felt like I walked away with, you know, realizing how influential and how important Dusty Rhodes is and was to wrestling of that era and to today, because, you know, when you talk about the work he did in NXT, still up to, you know, today, you know, when he passed away, he was working on cultivating the future.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that to me is most incredible just in terms of the reactions of his passing is, I mean, you and I both know and are friends with so many people that either currently work in WWE or have worked at WWE at some point, or that just work in the professional wrestling and sports entertainment realm in general. he was so influential and such a mentor to so many of those people, including someone who is a former broadcast colleague of both of ours, who is now the voice of NXT. So, I mean, Dusty Rhodes has had such an influence and impact in everyone's life, Booker T's as well.
Of course.
Just to see the outpouring of love and support for the family and just appreciation for what Dusty Rhodes has meant to professional wrestling and to an entire generation, not only of fans, but of performers, including Ric Flair.
I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, Ric Flair wanted to be, I mean, he said it, he wanted to be Dusty Rhodes when he started in pro wrestling.
Ramblin' Ricky Rhodes.
You know, when you think about Dusty, Dusty's one of those few guys that also everybody, like, universally loved. As a performer, behind the scenes, from stories that we've heard, he's just someone who never really, no one has a bad thing to really say about Dusty the person.
Yeah.
And the performer was incredible. And here, Dusty was one of those guys, you could give him anything. He could take anything and turn around and make it gold. You know, just a few weeks ago, he was on Monday Night Raw, and still his promos, you know, were probably just off the cuff. They just probably gave him a mic and said, here, go ahead, say whatever you want. And even then, you know, at 69 years old, he still was able to give me goosebumps. Just, you know, he made me feel what he was talking about. We watched some promo he did with Goldust when he was Dustin Runnels back in WCW,
right,
in 94.
Back in 94.
And it was just, he cried. Dusty Rhodes cried in the promo.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was him being real or his character crying. I mean, that's right. How good he was, though. He toted that line of entertainment and reality, and that's why I think so many people bought into him.
Yeah, one of the greatest of all time. Certainly, what he did for Texas professional wrestling transcended the business. What he did for the National Wrestling Alliance transcended the business. His rivalries with the Four Horsemen, his rivalries with the Road Warriors, with Ric Flair. I remember in the late 80s, somewhere between 87 and 88, he was with the Road Warriors for a period of time, and they were battling the Four Horsemen, if I'm not mistaken. The Road Warriors actually turned their back on Dusty Rhodes. And just doing that, turning your back on the ultimate face, on the ultimate good guy, instantly gave them the type of heel heat that was off the chain. They couldn't have got that anywhere else. They got that from being able to work with Dusty, and it just elevated them as performers. And he did it so many times in his career. He tagged with a gentleman whose career was cut short, Magnum T.A., who was red hot and on fire, and a lot of that was due to the influence that Dusty Rhodes had on his career as well.
He tagged with Dirty Dick Murdoch. I mean, they ran rampant over Texas and the southern region of the United States. And the thing, when you think about Dusty Rhodes, I mean, he was an overweight white man who looked like he had little to no muscle definition. And that's being generous at that end. And, I mean, he didn't look like much, what I'm trying to say, physically. But he's a white dude who talked like a black dude. You know, I mean, he had the slick sayings, you know. I mean, he was the American dream, you know. And I mean, and that's just who he was. And for some reason, this man, who was the son of a plumber, who went through some hard times, he achieved the American dream, and we'll always remember him for that.
Absolutely. So condolences to Dusty Rhodes and his family. And thank you, Dusty, for your contributions to the business, for making us love professional wrestling.
Agreed.
Well, let's move on and talk about the Money in the Bank card that's coming up on Sunday. Seven matches on the card, including the Money in the Bank ladder match. In addition to that, also the tag team championships will be up for grabs as well, and Seth Rollins defending the WWE World Heavyweight Championship against Dean Ambrose. We'll start at the bottom of the card as it is listed, courtesy of our friends at Wikipedia. Nikki Bella versus Paige for the Divas title. What do you think of this, and who do you got?
I got Nikki Bella for more than one reason. You know, I love Nikki Bella. Like, to me, Nikki, and I've said this before, Nikki's like the new Trish in my estimation. She's good in the ring, solid in the ring, pretty good promo. You know, she has times where it's like a little, but a lot of times she hits the nail right on top of the head. And, of course, she's incredibly beautiful. And I think that she's going to break the 285-day streak as champion that AJ Lee set back whenever that was, 2-3 years ago. I think she's going to go 300, maybe a year as the champion. And really, you know, Paige has had it twice, three times or something already. I thought Naomi might have gotten it at the last pay-per-view, but that didn't happen. So we're seeing Bella and Paige. I think Nikki Bella holds on to it.
I'm not entirely convinced that Paige has what it takes at this stage to be the person that carries the torch for the Divas division.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean any disrespect or offense to Paige at all, because I think Paige is great and you know, she's sexy and she's got her own thing going on. But I mean, Nikki Bella truly is the total package in the Divas division right now. My concern would be is who comes along next to challenge her. I mean, who works for her? Because right now it kind of feels like a little bit of a carousel of just a sort of mid-card offerings being thrown up to Nikki Bella. There's no real challenge for that at all.
It's time for a Charlotte from NXT or a Sasha Banks or a Becky Lynch to come up from NXT to the main roster. And I'd love to see Charlotte come up, or Sasha Banks, but Charlotte preferably, come up, have that feud. You're talking about Ric Flair's daughter. There's obviously some championship lineage in her blood. And come and have a feud that's almost the female equivalent of John Cena, Kevin Owens right now. Because when you think about Divas division, who's on top? You think Nikki Bella is the number one diva, in my estimation. John Cena always will, as long as he's with the company, be the number one superstar. And he and Kevin Owens are having a hellacious rivalry, which we're going to talk about. So I think Charlotte could come in and rival that. So I'd like to see her come in next.
So you're going
with Nikki?
You got Nikki Bella. I have Nikki Bella as well. I see no reason for any changes to be made here. Moving right along, Ryback will be defending the WWE Intercontinental Championship against The Big Show. Are you excited about this match?
Well, I haven't seen a whole lot of build to it. I mean, I know they had their one interaction on Raw when Ryback was supposed to defend his Intercontinental Championship against The Miz. Big Show comes out and knocks out Miz. I'm excited for this in a similar way that I was excited for Ryback versus Mark Henry at WrestleMania. That match didn't end up kind of fulfilling what I wanted. I wanted Ryback to go over in that match. But, you know, it's a hoss when you think of Ryback. Big, jacked-up dude, the big guy. And, you know, who's the largest athlete in the world? And what better way to legitimize Ryback once again and get him to approaching to a main event level than defeating someone like the Big Show? I talked about Big Show on Extreme Rules, the podcast we did. I think Big Show's excellent, and I think he's in a position right now where he can make a guy like Ryback.
I agree. I mean, I think there's not a whole lot to be said here other than this is red meat for the continued push of Ryback. One thing that I would say is I'm extremely impressed at the amount of patience that Ryback has shown. Because Ryback went through that period for about 12 to 15 months where they had him sort of working as a heel after the whole thing with him and John Cena occurred.
Mm-hmm.
And then he turned heel between that first match and the second match that they had together. And then he's bullying people backstage and just doing all this stuff that just didn't feel organic or real.
He was part of Rybacksel.
Yeah, and so this is the true ascension of a beast like Ryback. He's going to put away Big Show. He's going to shell shock Big Show.
And that's going to be the big spot.
And that's going to be the spot. And that is going to elevate him as a performer. It's no longer about elevating the Intercontinental Championship. It's about getting Ryback back to main event status. And I would love down the road to see Ryback and Kevin Owens work together.
Oh, that'd be great. Yes. That'd be great. Ryback doesn't get enough credit because if you remember that run that he had with Cena back in, what was that, 2013?
There were good matches.
And with Punk back in the, you know, Hell in a Cell, they had a great Hell in a Cell match. Ryback was so over, too. Like, Ryback could have been WWE champion back then.
And he's getting there again.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we saw him at SmackDown live a couple weeks ago here in Houston, and he got a spectacular reaction.
Huge.
Arguably the loudest pop of the night next to Roman Reigns.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, it was loud for Ryback. I would love to see him as WWE champion. I think he and Kevin Owens have a great match. Who knows? Maybe we'll see in the next 3 years, maybe we'll see Ryback, Brock Lesnar, which could be another interesting match.
Absolutely.
I love Ryback, and I think he's going to win this match.
We move to the tag team title match between The New Day, Big E, and Xavier Woods, taking on the primetime players, Darren Young and Titus O'Neil. You talk about being over the primetime players, again, getting excellent reactions at house shows, at SmackDown we were at as well, on Raw. Is it time for the primetime players to ascend to the next level and become the tag team champions?
No, it's not time for them yet. I think SummerSlam, I think we're going to see new tag team champions in the primetime players. I love that they're back together. First of all, their new shirts are spectacular.
They are pretty badass, yeah.
I think the New Day finally found its niche, and using those tag team titles is helping them. Now, here's the thing. I have an interesting prediction for a later match that might change my philosophy on this one, but I think New Day walks away still your tag team champions.
What's your tidbit?
Well, we'll get there when we get there.
Oh, okay.
Cross that bridge. What do you think?
Here's my thing about this pay-per-view. I think most people will agree that other than the Cena Owens match at Elimination Chamber, that the show overall was pretty unimpressive.
Mm-hmm.
The finish in the heavyweight championship match was pretty cool, but then I feel like people left a little disappointed as well because they thought they were going to get the big shock. It wasn't quite time yet for Seth Rollins to hand over the title.
Yeah, they got a dusty finish.
They got a dusty finish. Yeah. I think the primetime players go over in this one. I think you've got to have something. You've got to have something on this show that shakes things up a little bit. The New Day is over, whether they are tag team champions or not. I agree with you. I didn't like the New Day when they first came out.
No, that was terrible.
I'm starting to get into the New Day a little bit now. I like the sarcasm.
Like we were watching some pop, some promo they were doing at SmackDown. And I can't remember what they did, but they were like, between every point they made, they all would like take their arms and kind of like swing them to the side and be like, something. It was just funny, and it made me laugh. So, I love the New Day.
So, but I think it's time for the primetime players to get the tag team championships. I think that's going to be one of the things going to kind of shake the show up a little bit. So I'm going to go with the primetime players. Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose for the WWE Heavyweight Championship. Do you think that this match, right now, it's predicted, and this could change, to be in the middle of the card?
No,
on this show, you think this is going to close out, or you think the Money in the Bank is going to close out?
No, this will close out.
Does it close out the show?
I think it's going to go. Money in the Bank will be third to last.
Okay,
and then they'll have something in between.
We're going to come back to the WWE Heavyweight Championship match.
Let's go to R-Truth King Barrett pre-show.
Pre-show. You think that'll be on the pre-show? Do they announce it for the pre-show?
Look. It says pre-show.
Oh, it does say pre-show.
P indicates pre-show.
I'm not reading that.
It's all right.
Well, that's fine. That's what you're here for.
It is.
Does anybody really care?
I'll take a shot in the dark and I'll go R-Truth.
I'm just befuddled. I can't figure out for the life of me why they took away the Bad News Barrett gimmick from him.
I don't know. They gave him King Barrett, which King has been... Now, the King of the Ring gimmick has proven to be very successful for a lot of the past superstars in our...
You just picked R-Truth, and the King of the Ring is working on the pre-show.
Yeah.
I'm going with R-Truth as well. He's got to go back to Bad News Barrett. To me, it was just... A writer pushed this idea through.
Possibly.
This King of the Ring.
I don't know.
But anyway, we both got R-Truth in
Let's go. Let's talk John Cena, the United States champion, in a rematch with the NXT champion, Kevin Owens. The rematch from the Elimination Chamber. No one expected Kevin Owens to win. I had an inkling, so I am not no one. I am someone. But what do you think about this match?
I'm excited to see it. My only hesitation about this match is I don't want it to be over-gimmicked to try and outdo what they did in the first match. The first match that those two had was beautiful. And one of the reasons why was because it was simple. Now, there were times where Kevin Owens pulled some incredible shit out of his hat, including that suplex reversal off the top rope.
Whatever he turned that into, brain buster, whatever it was.
A couple spots like that, once again, would be pretty cool. But if we have springboard stunners flying around and all this other stuff, and it turns into a spot fest, it's going to take away from the work that these two guys did in the first match. I hope they keep it simple. It's another modern warfare between these two, and I have John Cena in this one. And the reason why I say that is, number one, when you cut that babyface promo coupled with the cancer kid on Raw, it's hard to tell those kids to keep fighting, and then he comes into this match and doesn't pick up a victory. And secondly, a victory for Cena here evens what I hope will be an ongoing series of matches between these two. I think they are the perfect adversaries for each other. We've seen over the years guys who have come along like CM Punk, you know, even Ryback had his moment, go all the way back to even The Miz, The Rock, guys who you've always thought, this guy could be a great adversary for John Cena. But there's always something that didn't quite feel like this thing could go on, this could lead on. Like, there was a little piece of the puzzle missing for me. Even when it was The Rock, because you always felt like, well, The Rock's going to leave. Or The Rock is this transcending star across multiple platforms. So at some point, this thing has to end. It's a big fight feel, but there's no more that can go on from this. To me, Cena and Owens is the perfect rivalry. And I could see this going all the way through to the end of the summer.
I mean, I agree. You know, when I think of John Cena's greatest opponents, I mean, a few names pop up in my mind, and I think he's had great rivalries with Edge back in 05 when they battled over the WWE Championship. I love those matches. I loved Cena's matches with Randy Orton. I love Cena's matches with The Rock. I love Cena's matches with CM Punk. I thought these were his big four rivalries that he's had, you know, that have been kind of his Rock. Austin was
interesting that you mentioned Punk,
Cena.
It's interesting that you mentioned the rivalry with Edge, because I feel like that was a completely different John Cena.
Well, it was.
You know what
it
I mean?
He was the Doctor of Thuganomics.
I understand that, but I mean, like, it just to me it feels like this is in it. You know, it's sort of like mid 2000s LeBron James. Compared to the LeBron James we're seeing today in the finals right now. I mean,
of course you bring up LeBron.
Well, of course I do, because he's the king. And how apropos, because as we're recording this, Game 4 is tonight, and he'll probably win it again. But
I hope he does.
But Cena is at a point right now where, I mean, he's a 15-time world heavyweight champion. He's untouchable. He's untouchable. You see this in a comic book. You see it in you see it in a great movie where you have a hero and you have an anti-hero. You have the hero and you have the villain, and that hero sort of walking that line and coming back and walking that line. What is John Cena going to have to do to put this guy down? This guy that has already beaten him once, and he's a scumbag.
Yeah.
He's a total scumbag that just says the most sarcastic shit to get under your skin. But at the same time, he rolls up his sleeves. He's fighting to put food on the table for his family.
Family, yeah.
So it has this Batman Joker kind of feel to it. It's almost got a Batman Superman kind of thing going on as well. It's kind of like, I like it. I'm really excited about it, and I'm high on Kevin Owens. And there have been people out there, and even admittedly, I've said it before, where I was kind of like, although I didn't agree with the people that said they didn't feel Kevin Owens deserved to be where he is, but I simply have heard and at one point even agreed, I don't know what it is about Kevin Owens. I don't know what exactly it is, but then you watch him perform, you watch him cut a promo, and you're just glued to everything the guy's doing. And I can't exactly put my finger on
it. I'll tell you why. It's the same reason. For the past year, Brock Lesnar has been my favorite wrestler wrestling today. Because even Brock's not a great promo, admittedly, right?
But well, he's got Heyman.
Well, yeah, but I think Brock Lesnar, you know, I'm saying generally people say he's not a great promo, but I think Brock Lesnar is a fantastic promo. You know why? Because whenever he talks on the microphone, I believe every word he's saying, and I feel like that's exactly what he'd say in real life.
It is.
You know, when he's like, it's business time, baby. Get out of here, Seth. It's business time, baby. Or whatever you're saying. Like, I was like, man, this guy seems so real. And I think this is the same thing with Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens seems like everything he's saying, that's what the real guy would say. There's a validity to his statements. There's some legitimacy behind him. Who he just has this aura of, I am me. I got a dad bod going on. You know what I'm saying? But I can kick your ass.
I think the thing that I love about it the most is we've spent a number of years now working in independent wrestling. Although I wouldn't call reality wrestling independent wrestling.
No, Texas wrestling.
But I have before I got to reality of wrestling, and I've seen
poor bastard. No, I'm joking.
I've seen guys on both ends. Guys coming up and guys coming down. Yeah. And when John Cena said, let me give you a piece of veteran advice, and then here's Kevin Owens saying, let me give you a piece of advice. I've worked in this business longer than you have.
Yeah.
I just haven't been here. But just because I haven't been here doesn't mean that I haven't worked Japan. It doesn't mean that I haven't worked in front of 20 or 30 or 40,000 people just as much as I've worked in front of 200. Yeah. And no matter how many people I've worked in front of, and I'm kind of, you know, paraphrasing his idea of where he's going with this, but it's sort of like that's the feeling you get is no matter whether he's working in front of 10 or 10,000 or 100,000, Kevin Owens is going to give you the same thing every single time. He's going to beat the hell out of somebody.
Yeah.
And he's going to take an ass whipping. But at the end of it, he's still going to be standing. And that's why I love this deal, but I think Cena wins this, and hopefully this leads
to SummerSlam.
To SummerSlam. Yeah,
I agree. Exactly. Cena wins.
All right, so moving right along, let us capture the Money in the Bank with the Money in the Bank ladder match. Dolph Ziggler, Neville, no one has a first name anymore, Roman Reigns, Randy Orton, Kofi Kingston, Sheamus, and Kane. Who do you got in this thing and why?
I want to ask you who you have first, because my prediction's probably going to shock people, so you go ahead.
Well, I haven't given this a whole lot of thought, to be honest with you, but I have to say, Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say Roman Reigns.
Why?
It just makes sense. I feel like, I'm choosing Roman Reigns partially because of what my prediction is going to be for the next match.
Okay.
And I just see a scenario where this thing has to finally happen. You got to have Roman Reigns and you got to have Seth Rollins. It's going to have to happen. And so...
that's who you go with.
So I got to go with Roman Reigns. It's not a whole lot going on there because I just think it's that simple.
All right.
I mean, by deductive reasoning.
No, hold on. Ask me who I think is going to win the Money in the Bank match.
Brad Gilmore, who do you think... is going to win the Money in the Bank ladder match.
Is this thing on?
And if he doesn't, and if he says Kofi Kingston.
Kofi Kingston is going to win the Money in the Bank ladder match.
Now, are you basing this solely on the fact that he's going to work Lesnar in Japan?
No, not solely. That has something to do with it, though. Can you imagine, one, the shock and awe of the WWE universe and the universe in general if Kofi Kingston were to win? You talk about you want to shake things up a little bit. You want to shake some things up. You make Kofi Kingston, a tenured veteran at this time, who I think has been around since 2006 or 2007, one of the two. If you want to talk about shaking things up, go with Kofi. Now, here's another thing. Kofi, for the first time in his career, is now a heel, right? So, I mean, one, people would hate him for winning because he's a heel, so theoretically that's what he's supposed to do. Two, he's still with The New Day. Now, if The New Day aren't tag team champions anymore... and they're not using the Freebird rule on the tag team championships, what if they use the Freebird rule on the Money in the Bank briefcase? If Kofi wins, they all win, right? Can you imagine when one of them's trying to cash in and then the other one's, no, I want to cash. I mean, just the scenario there. And then think about it from a logistics standpoint. Kofi's in a faction, right? If he wants to cash in, he's going to send Xavier and the Minister of Mass, Big E, to the ring, beat up on whoever the champion is, cash in. Can you imagine if Kofi Kingston cashed in on Monday Night Raw and became the WWE World Heavyweight Champion, the first African-American to hold that distinction? Can you imagine the sheer unbelievability of that moment ever occurring? Can you imagine the reaction on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Periscope? Can you just even fathom that event happening? And then, why are you going to put Kofi Kingston with Brock Lesnar? Look at the other people. We know he can have a good match with Roman Reigns. You know he can work Orton. You know he can work Sheamus. They'd have a great match. You know Ziggler would make him look like $1 million. But they pick Kofi Kingston, and I can't help to think there's some logic behind that. And I found out that Japan show is going to be streaming live on the WWE Network. So they want to make sure this match is seen now, this Brock Lesnar-Kofi Kingston match. Kofi fucking Kingston is wrestling Brock Lesnar. There's got to be something more behind that than we're realizing. So if Kofi Kingston wins Money in the Bank, call me a genius.
I'm going to say that there is not a chance in hell that Kofi Kingston is going to win this.
That's fine.
Not a chance in hell. Now, that's a great argument. That is a wonderful argument.
Thank you.
But in the real world, where we both live and breathe, Roman Reigns wins the Money in the Bank.
Yeah, you're going with the most obvious. I'm going with the least obvious. That's fine.
Well, there we go. We're going to have to see.
Now, so Ziggler's going to win. Then we'll go to the middle.
Neville.
Yeah, the new sensation.
All right, the main event for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, Seth Rollins defending against Dean Ambrose. What's your level of excitement for this main event?
You know what's funny is, like, you know, I grew up, I first started watching wrestling in the Attitude Era, Stone Cold Steve Austin era, and I really think they're trying to pattern Ambrose after Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's a guy who, for some reason, almost like Kevin Owens, has this charisma to where people want. Because, like, when you saw Elimination Chamber and we saw Dean Ambrose win, quote-unquote, the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, the place went bananas. Twitter instantaneously went bananas, much like if Kofi Kingston were to win the Money in the Bank ladder match. But, I mean, it just went crazy. And now he's hijacked the title, and I've looked at him. I'm like, you know, Dean Ambrose could be WWE World Heavyweight Champion easy. When The Shield first came in, I thought he was the number one guy, right? And then it kind of went on, and I'm like, no, Roman Reigns is obviously that guy. And then toward the end of the Shield run, I said, Seth Rollins is going to be the first one to be the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. And then we saw that happen at WrestleMania. And I think you need Dean Ambrose. Now, this is an interesting point. You need Dean Ambrose to win the WWE Championship to legitimize Roman Reigns' first title run. Because then he wasn't the chosen one who was going to be the first one to spin off and get the title. He had to earn his way up there. He saw his two former colleagues get the title before he did. But that's a secondary matter right now. Dean Ambrose, maybe not at this show, but this year, before the end of the year, maybe before Survivor Series, maybe at SummerSlam, he will be the WWE World Heavyweight Champion because that's how this has to pay off. He's never won a feud against Seth Rollins. We saw the last one ended with Wyatt attacking him and Seth Rollins going over it last October or November, whenever that was. Dean Ambrose, I don't know if it's going to be this show, but it's going to be soon that I think he wins the WWE Championship. He maybe will feud with Brock, although that doesn't make sense to me right now. But I think they're building to a Seth Rollins Triple H match at SummerSlam. For some reason, I just feel like seeds are being planted. So I feel like they're going to have to transition out of this rivalry soon. And you have to have Dean Ambrose win, or you bury him as a babyface, essentially.
So you're picking Dean Ambrose in this match, or sometime down the road?
I feel like Seth Rollins will win this match because Ambrose kind of has had the upper hand the whole way through, and he's held the title. But I hate to say it. I think Seth Rollins will win this match. Now, is the next pay-per-view SummerSlam? Is that what it says on here? What does it say? No, Battleground.
Battleground is next.
Let Ambrose win, Rollins win it back at Battleground. Or let Rollins win this one and Ambrose win it at Battleground. But I think within the next 2 months, we're going to have a new... Within the next two pay-per-views, we're going to have a new WWE champion.
Here is what I think would be the perfect scenario heading into Battleground. You have Roman Reigns win the Money in the Bank contract, which I believe he will. This match goes on last. Dean Ambrose gives Seth Rollins everything he can handle and then some. Seth Rollins figures out a way in the chicken shit heel role that he plays to retain this title, but he is spent. Both guys are out. Reigns cashes in on Money in the Bank that night, walks out with the title, sets up a triple threat of the Shield.
At SummerSlam?
No, at Battleground.
You'd want to do that at Battleground. Okay.
You want to do it there at Battleground. You got to have something for people to tune in to Battleground.
Now, here's the thing. I hear that, now I might be getting the date wrong, but I think Brock Lesnar returns this Monday on Raw. Now, what is that? How does that factor in? How does Brock, who is right now a huge babyface and needs to get his win back, right? You would think. How does he factor into all this?
Well, he's still owed a rematch.
Yeah.
He's still owed a rematch. Essentially, You could make it a four-way.
That'd be interesting.
You know, I'm loving what they're doing with the Shield here. They haven't quite taken that next step yet, and that's what I think happens when you put that briefcase in Roman Reigns' hands. You force him in the door. Right now, Reigns just sort of has Ambrose's back. You give him that briefcase, and he has to force the door open. His hand is forced. I got to put my cards on the table. I want that championship. I've got the briefcase to prove it. No offense, Dean. And this is what gives Dean Ambrose his opportunity sometime here in the future to make that heel turn if they want him to.
Yeah, I think they're both very logical predictions of what could happen. But we'll have to see. We'll have to see Sunday.
So Sunday it is. I hope we've gotten you hyped.
I'm hyped. I'm hyped right now.
Because
now
you believe Kofi Kingston's going to win the Money. Because
he is.
And I think you're on drugs.
So. What do you think? What do you think? You should give me something. If I get this prediction right, I think you deserve to give me a crystal ball. You should buy me an engraved crystal ball.
Here's what I'm going to do. If you get this prediction right, if possible, on air, I will give you a crystal ball or a magic 8 ball.
I like it. I'll take that deal.
Even engraved. Engraved. With your name on it.
I'll take it.
Okay. But if you're wrong, you've got to come on my podcast and admit that you're a complete idiot.
Okay.
All right.
Deal.
All right.
Deal. Shake on it.
Excellent.
All right.
There it is. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, there you have it. I hope you were as entertained as I was. This has been our pre-show, if you will, simulcast of Money in the Bank. It's this Sunday live on the WWE Network. And make sure you check it out. And what else you got going on, Brad? You got a lot of stuff going on right now.
Go to my Twitter at Brad Gilmore. You find out about all my projects. New music coming out.
Yeah.
New season one of Back to the Future, the podcast, is almost over. So go check it out now. Going to start working on season two really soon. Brad Gilmore Show on Demand. New episodes every Monday, except when we do the simulcast. It's on Sunday.
Yep. And I'll be coming out of hibernation soon and doing more podcasts.
Well, there you go.
Maybe.
Well, for TP the Topolsky Podcast and
the Brad Gilmore Show.
We'll see y'all next time. Peace. Oh, what have you done now?